You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of What's Up Broadway. I'm your host, Ayanna Prescott, and today I am back with my co-host, Christian Lewis. Christian, what's up? What fun theater things have you seen this past week?
It's been a fairly slow theater time for me. I don't know about you. I am seeing Skeleton Crew tonight, which I'm very excited about. It's my first new Broadway show of 2022, which I'm really great about. But I've been taking this kind of like slow theater January to like get other things done in my life. So I handed in my dissertation like a week or two ago.
Yes.
So that's been great. How about you?
That's great. Yeah, I saw a couple of shows. One that I feel like I've slid into your DMs and told you you need to see, which is The Hang. You need to see it. I don't even know how to explain it. It's just so quirky, different. Everything that theater should be moving forward. And then the costume designs are out of this world. And I think you especially would gag. So I need you to go see it.
I do love Taylor Mack.
I'm sure there will be nothing but good things coming out of your mouth after you see that show. I also saw Skeleton Crew, which was, it's a very deep play. I'd never seen it at Atlantic. I know a couple of people who went to see this production saw it at Atlantic. I didn't. So I was going in with like fresh eyes. And I do have a review coming out, so I don't want to speak too much about it, but I loved it. And it's very deep and very excited to see what everyone else has to say about the show. We're going to get into some Broadway breaking news. So starting this season, very interesting, Tony Awards voters must complete unconscious bias training in order to vote in any categories. The news sent to voters last Friday requires members to take a free online training session led by inclusion strategist Werner Myers. The course is meant to teach viewers how to identify unconscious or implicit bias in their own decision-making process and how to correct it. According to the course description,
thank God.
I would love to see how this translates into next season because there's so many shows that I want to say this is like one of the more diverse Broadway seasons that we've seen in a really long time. And so I want to see how this translates into voting. Also in news, producers Stephen Bird and Aaliyah Jones-Harvey announced that a new musical stage adaptation of Black Orpheus, featuring a book by Pulitzer Prize winner Nilo Cruz, original music by Grammy Award winner and Brazilian icon Sergio Mendes, and direction and choreography by Tony Award winner Sergio Trujillo, is being readied for its world premiere production on Broadway during the 2022-23 season. A developmental workshop and, of course, an out-of-town regional theater run are being planned for this year before heading to Broadway in 2023. Speaking of new, we have new Broadway marquees up for A Strange Loop and Paradise Square, which I think you were the one to introduce on theater Twitter. Like, there are new marquees up.
So I live in Hell's Kitchen. So when I noticed new one, I just put a picture up on Twitter. And in particular, the Estrange Loop one like blew up. People are so excited for that show. And same here. I'm so excited for Paradise Square too. But people are really rallying for Estrange Loop already. So yeah, in other news, James Snyder, who's been playing the role of Harry in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child since the new like one play short version reopened on Broadway November 12th, 2021, has had his contract terminated. The termination follows a complaint from fellow cast member Diane Davis, who has also left the production by her own accord. The production released a statement, and this is what it said. On November 19th, 2021, the producers of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child for the first time received a complaint from Diane Davis regarding the conduct of a fellow cast member, James Snyder. Immediately upon receiving this complaint, the producers commissioned an independent investigation by a third party, and Mr. Snyder was suspended pending the investigation's completion. They said that they're not really giving more details at this time because they want to like really care about the sensitivity of the nature for Diane Davis. So this is all we have right now, but hopefully Diane Davis can take time away and come back if she wants to come back. And other also pretty heavy news, actor-musician Meat Loaf, who successfully melded a decades-long, very eclectic career of performance and recording, died last Friday. For a lot of people, they know Meat Loaf for a lot of different things. For me, Meat Loaf is always known in my heart for originating the role of Eddie in the Broadway production of Rocky Horror Show and then doing it in the Rocky Horror Picture Show in 1975, which I'm sure, like every other theater geek, I've seen 8 million times. A number of theater artists have been selected for the Kennedy Center's Next 50 list. We like really took over a lot of this list, which I was very happy about. So the list as a whole is celebrating individuals who are contributing their talent to create a more equitable world. So among the people chosen that are super relevant for What's Up Broadway, we have stage and screen star, trans icon, Michaela J. MJ Rodriguez, Tony nominated choreographer and about to be director as well, Camille Brown, stage manager extraordinaire, Cody Renard Richard, and my very close colleague and Did They Like It boss editor, Jose Solis. Like, we really took over this list.
Took over. I don't know. Has a critic ever made this list before?
Not that I know of, but not Jose's career, like, so goes above being a critic. He's a great critic, but, like, just the, like, advocacy work he does for BIPOC Critic Lab and Token Theater Friends, and now Did They Like It? Like, he's really changing the whole climate.
He's doing the work. On that note, let's get into some casting and show announcements. So Dennis Stowe is stepping into the role of Jafar in the Broadway production of Aladdin beginning this week at the New Amsterdam Theater. He succeeds fellow original cast member Jonathan Freeman, who created the role on Broadway after voicing the part in the 1992 animated film. Freeman played his last performance on January 23rd. Natasha Yvette Williams will succeed Dawn Lewis as Zelma, Tina Turner's mother, in Broadway's the Tina Turner musical, beginning February 4th. Lewis is scheduled to play her final performance on January 30th. Williams was last seen on Broadway in Chicken and Biscuits. We love that play here. And has been a longtime matron Mama Morton in Chicago. She starred as Becky during the original run of Waitress and also appeared on Broadway in A Night with Janis Joplin, Porgy and Bess, and The Color Purple. Long resume here. I feel like I need to see Tina Turner again, so maybe this is the time that I go to see it.
Right, and I do really want to see it with Nkechi, so like seeing both of them would be great.
Same. Also, following some crazy news, but so amazing, following a performance of Come From Away this weekend, cast member Emily Walton was surprised on stage with her diploma from Southern New Hampshire University. When Broadway shut down in 2020, Emily decided to finish her degree and earned a Bachelor of Arts in Psychology. The school's president and CEO, Paul J. LeBlanc, supplied Emily with a cap and gown before presenting her with a framed diploma. The video is kind of emotional.
So cute.
But also, like, what a way to graduate after a Broadway production. That's like,
I love stunts that happen during curtain calls, like proposals, last nights. I'm all about it.
I would love to ask how much a proposal runs during a Broadway production. That has to cost some money, but that I love it. If you can find that video, go watch it because it's kind of emotional.
Continuing Broadway news, more openings and et cetera. The Broadway revival of Intozaki Shange's For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Not Enough, a play I am obsessed with. Loved the production at the Public. So happy it's getting to Broadway. As we already raved about, it is directed and choreographed by Tony Award nominee Camille Brown. It's just announced that it's going to begin performances on Broadway on Friday, April 1st, 2022 at the Booth. And the fully reimagined production is going to officially open on Wednesday, April 20th. So PBS has announced a new series, Broadway in Concert, that pays tribute to iconic musicals that have like shaped all of American culture, musical theater, canon, all of it. The series kicks off with an evening with Lerner and Lowe. Who doesn't love Lerner and Lowe? So it's going to be premiering Sunday, March 6th at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time on PBS. Additional episodes of the series are going to be announced at a later date. As far as some closings, it's been like a definitely like a time of closings this January. A friend of mine was like, I'm coming to the city and I want to see something. What should I see? And I was like, well, there's like 10 whole shows on Broadway right now. So you don't have like a ton of options. There's only like two plays playing on Broadway currently, I think. It's like,
oh my goodness.
It's a weird time. But as far as for actual closings that happened since the last episodes, Girl from the North Country, not technically closure, technically a pause. It's pausing performances at the Belasco. It had 31 previews and 117 regular performances. And I believe their plan is to try to open up again in a couple months. Also, other closing, but this one was scheduled because it was a limited run, was for Slave Play. The play ended its second Broadway run on January 23rd at the August Wilson Theater, following 9 previews and 58 regular performances. Or, as all of the marketing love to say, 69 shows.
Love that.
The production is headed next to Los Angeles. Jeremy O'Harris said the play will remain on the lineup at the Center Theater Group's Mark Taper Forum in light of commitments made by that venue to expand opportunities for women, trans, and non-binary playwrights. That Jeremy was a big part of that bartering, changing their season process. So Slave Play will be making its way next to L.A.,
On that note, let's get into some theater socials.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Listen up. Make sure to check out BroadwayPodcastNetwork.com for new episodes, including a new episode of the Dear Friends podcast featuring chats about the top 5 Stephen Sondheim musicals. Break a Bat podcast talks with Ginger Z about weather forecasting on Good Morning America. Stagecraft with Gordon Cox talks with Dominique Morisseau about her latest staging of Skeleton Crew. The Theater Podcast chats with Kira Allen about being one of the Hollywood Reporter's breakout stars of 2020. Don't forget to check out This Is Reality, that Apple Podcast is deeming new and noteworthy. The podcast catches up with reality winner's mother, sister, and activist Wendy Collins about reality's time in prison. And stay tuned for a special interview with reality winner herself. Make sure to download our iOS app at bpn.fm/app for early access to all these episodes and more. We went from last week theater socials to being pretty quiet to this week every day with something new. And let's start with, I guess, the most recent Gilded Age new series on HBO, HBO Max that features so many Broadway elite. Like, it's intense. Christian, thoughts? What are you seeing on the socials?
The cast is so stacked, it honestly made Tick, Tick, Boom look like it didn't have that many Broadway people in it.
That
I read a tweet that was like, if you took a drink every time you saw a Broadway actor, you'd be blackout by the opening credits, which is true.
That is hilarious. I saw Peter Marks even tweet that, you know, there should be an entrance applause every entrance of a new actor, like insane.
I saw someone say that, like, you know, there's a lot of theater people when you're watching a show when all of a sudden you look down because you like thought you had a playbill in your hand to like look up their bio, which is true. Like, I wish the show had a playbill. I don't know if this one's confirmed, but I saw that someone said that the cast as a whole has 21 Tony Awards and 39 Tony nominations.
That's incredible. And most of them are with Audra.
Audra and Kelly have make like... up for half that.
So if you didn't check out Gilded Age, I think you should. It's very, very good pilot episode that was... The first episode was 90 minutes, no intermission. They give you literally an hour and 20 minute show. It was crazy. Also, fairly recent, the Perfect Crimes, Perfect Crime happening took over theater socials. We got a weird press release that said
weird is an understatement
that there were copper pipes stolen from the theater that the Perfect Crime and what's the other show, Christian, that's there?
I want to say Office. The Office.
Yes, yeah. The Office parody. And that the next day, the same people who stole the copper pipes tried to come back and break in again. It was the most interesting press release that I've ever gotten. And then theater Twitter blew up and like, is this even real?
And one of the main actresses in the show, either in the press release or in an interview about it, like, said like, oh, I've been in the office for every performance since they started. And so like, I took the time off from the few days the show was closed because the theater no longer has pipes to like go see musicals on Broadway. And then everyone was like, did she plan this?
I hope they get their pipes replaced. But this was like one of the best publicity tactics ever. And it got the press that I guess the PR rep or whoever was hoping for, because I've never gotten a press release about a break-in ever. Like,
nor do I usually spend a lot of time thinking about the Perfect Crime or the Office parody musical.
Also, lastly on theater socials, like I said before, so many things happening. There's like a great debate about theater kid energy. The Daily Beast wrote an article about Rachel Zegler and, you know, her beautiful, stunning role in West Side Story, and said that there are people on Twitter, which they only credited like two people on Twitter, that said, but she's still a theater kid at heart and it annoys them. I'm just like, what?
This bothered me for so many reasons. Number one, theater energy is intense, but like, get over yourself. And number two, I was really bothered by the article. It didn't cite a lot of people. And like, oh, we're going to have people say that like Rachel Zegler is like unlikable because she's a theater kid energy. But like, no one's going to say that about like Andrew Garfield, white boy over there. So like, it was weird. I didn't get it. And like, theater kid energy is great. So.
But it's also like, whoever wrote this, I tracked them down on Twitter and they said they're also a theater kid, but it's also like, if they knew how many superstars started on stage, it would be wild. Like Ariana Grande, theater kid.
Now, Ariana Grande has big theater kid energy. She still has theater kid energy. She absolutely does.
Total theater kid energy. And it's like, I mean, that's what makes her, like, not only is her voice incredible, but she's, her energy, her personality is what makes her, like, the biggest pop star. And so, listen, if you have theater kid energy, do not be ashamed. I think Christian and I have big theater kid energy.
Big theater kid energy.
And listen, if you don't like it, it says more about you than it says about us. Anyways, on that note, let's get into some fan Q&A. So over on Twitter, we asked, because we're all talking about Gilded Age, what is your favorite TV series that stars theater actors?
So I'm going to give like two cheat answers and then a deep cut of an answer. But for the cheats, like, I am a diehard Smash fan. I like talk about it at least once a week, if not more. I'm still waiting around for that like now meta musical about Smash/Bombshell that's supposedly been Broadway bound forever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. I did a whole concert with my friends of the music of Smash in college. I'm very into it, and I loved the amazing Broadway cast we had, and I want to see those people on stage more and again. As far as for like another cheat, speaking of theater kid energy, I was like a very enthusiastic Gleek back in the day in my childhood youth. I was really into Glee, and it is, looking back, just hilarious, problematic trash. But at the time, I felt seen by those toxic theater kids. Well, I was a toxic theater kid.
I have never seen an episode of Glee.
Oh, I don't.
Look that Christian is giving me right now, if you all could see, is hilarious.
I'm coming over with some alcohol, and we're just going to do like a whole marathon
of Glee. You're welcome here anytime. And I think I don't have full theater kid energy because I've never seen an episode of Glee. And here we are.
But as far as for like theater actors in a show where they're not like singing and being theater actors, this is weird. But Trial and Error season 2, Kristen Chenoweth is like one of my favorite wacky, kooky performances ever. I love Kristen Chenoweth so much. And I love when she just gets to like be a amazing comedic icon. And so I think like that was weirdly where my brain went, maybe just because there's like too many options because the Broadway people are all working in TV now. But what are your list?
So Smash is my answer. I loved Smash. I think it's due for a season 3.
It's perfect time for a Smash season 3 because their musical was going to be Great Gatsby, and we're now going to get Gatsby musicals because it's like domained. So like it's the perfect time.
And also, I can't lie, the Broadway theater actor to Law and Order, gotta say, the pipeline is there, and Law and Order is one of the things that like I guilty watch when there's nothing else on. So Law and Order SVU and Smash are like my series with theater actors that I absolutely love. Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of What's Up Broadway. You can learn more about What's Up Broadway at bpn.fm/WUB and connect with us on Twitter at @BWayPodNetwork. Have a tip or some breaking news? Send us a message at bpn.fm/hottip, and please make sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a rating and tune in next week for another episode of What's Up Broadway.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.